Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey, everybody.
Hello.
Welcome to episode 83 of Screen Heroes. I am Derek, one of your regular hosts. I have my two other regular hosts with me, Ryan.
Hello.
And Ray.
Sup.
And we have two guests.
Yes.
Ray, would you like to introduce our guests?
Well, we are welcoming back Christopher.
Hello.
He has been on a couple episodes now. This makes episode, what, four or five?
Three.
Feels longer.
Right.
Feels a lot longer.
Is that good or bad?
I don't know. And first time guest, Jeremy.
Hello.
I'm Jeremy.
Yes.
All right. Cool.
This is my first
time. Awesome. Well, welcome to the show, man. I'm happy to have you.
Yeah.
And if you don't have ice, we'll welcome you back.
That's true.
It's a total iceless frappuccino. It should be silent.
Mm. Perfect. It's my favorite.
Well, I bet you can crunch the bottle.
Me pandering.
I mean, we don't need to worry about that. So today, this afternoon, evening, we are going to be building the ultimate Star Trek crew.
Yes.
And before we do that, you know, do you have any news you guys want to cover? Okay.
All right. So
eager.
The worst thing possible has happened.
The worst thing ever?
John Cena is up for the role of Shazam, and I blame Ryan so much. He did this. He did this, and it's awful.
Okay.
He did this.
He's not denying it.
No.
I'm not. You, The Rock is Black Adam. So.
Because.
No.
Let me know when. Am I good?
You're good.
Okay.
Are you, though?
I am. Very good. Okay, so, you know, The Rock, one of the reasons I liked him as Shazam, it was that he has this ability to go very childish in the way he acts and things like that, and I thought that it would be a good role for him. Kind of like when you cast Arnold as a Terminator, it was right in the wheelhouse for their acting abilities. John Cena, I think, has similar...
I loved his two lines in Sisters.
Hey, he had, have you ever seen The Marine? Actually, I mean, no, basically all he had to do was like walk around flexing and dive out of burning cars.
He's pretty funny in training.
My safe word is keep going.
Thank you. I've never seen him in anything other than The Marine, but like I've seen interviews with the guy and things like that where he seems like he is in touch with his own sense of humor as a child.
Why do I get the feeling that you sent DC messages every day?
I cannot confirm or deny.
I think he did.
But for our Patreon subscribers, I'll screenshot those messages if you contribute $5 or more.
It does seem like we're on this trend, though. I mean, yeah, the Rock was up for Black Adam. We have David Bautista, of course, in the Guardians of the Galaxy movies.
It's not to say that a wrestler can't act.
No,
it's just,
I'm not saying that.
I feel like when I watch the movie, I'm not going to be able to see anything on the screen.
Well, wrestling is acting. Yes, that's a joke about the meme. We get it. Well, at least I did. Derek didn't seem to get it. But the thing is, with superheroes in comics, they have bodies that like are you can't take an actor and give them that body most of the time. So there's some exceptions. Yeah,
tell that.
Yeah,
tell
Hugh Jackman would be my pick on that, or Henry Cavill. But
Chris Pratt?
I mean, okay. He doesn't look like a superhero from a comic book. He looks big, like a big dude.
I wouldn't buy Chris Pratt as Shazam.
Wrestlers have
that look. You know, they're always, that's their entire life is making themselves look that way and acting because that's what they're doing in the ring. So I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. I'm interested to see. I think he has a good look for Shazam.
Sure,
very
sure.
Square jaw and, you know, muscular physique and all
the
that.
The wisdom
stuff.
Of Solomon.
We'll see. I mean, I don't know. I don't know him personally. He does seem to be a smart enough guy based on his interviews and stuff, but, you know.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Okay.
That's not the worst news ever, I don't think. But
it's not the worst.
She probably would have said the worst news ever with Heath Ledger being cast as the Joker, too, back when that happened.
I was a big fan of that because he had already proven his acting.
I was on the fence about that until that very first teaser where they have the voiceovers and he does the laugh for the first time. And
I just feel like, you know, John Cena and The Rock. Like, let's just make the whole DC a big joke now. Like, let's just...
It's not okay. Yeah. I think you're taking it a little far. That hurts. I mean, the DC is already a big joke, first of all. So that's kind of... It is. What's one good movie in the DCEU right now other than Wonder Woman?
Wow.
Exactly. Wow. Okay.
Wow. We're not going down this route. It's not happening. We're going to move on. In other news, Star Wars Episode 9 lost its director. Colin Trevorrow has parted ways with Disney.
He was fired.
Yeah, he was totally fired. But they're
after,
not going to say
like,
that.
After, like, the movie's been 80% complete?
I don't think it's
not that far.
Okay.
That complete. No, no, no. Because Han Solo is the next one.
That's what happens when you want the T-Rex back.
I do like me some T-Rex.
I do, too.
Well, he is gone, and
differing visions,
differing visions, quote unquote, which seems to be a trend in Star Wars movies right now with differing visions,
or just Disney films in general.
Well, because they fired the directors of Han Solo,
yeah.
So
and they fired Edgar Wright,
and they fired Edgar Wright from Ant-Man. Yeah. Also true.
And they won't play ball. That's how it goes. You thought they learned their lesson with with the Marvel movies.
Oh, you've got a unique vision. Well, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, I guess in tone, they want Episode 8 and 9 to sound like 7, so, and look like 7, and, yeah.
Then why not just let Abrams do the whole thing?
Because Abrams didn't want to do it anymore.
He just wants, I mean, he helped, his company is producing them, so he gets a ton of money and doesn't...
Yeah, he can still cash the checks.
Exactly. He still gets some, like, creative input, of course, right? But he doesn't have to be on set every day.
Can we talk about the Porg?
The Porg?
Yeah, really, there's like this huge...
The new Ewok.
It turned into like this huge thing as soon as Force Friday happened and everybody started seeing the toys.
The little penguin otter thing?
Yeah, it turned into
this
huge...
It's a guinea pig bird.
Whatever it is, everybody loves it. So, and the merchandise is flying off the shelves.
I love it so much.
I want there to be a twist and the thing to be like a savage blood.
I want Chewbacca to eat it. Like, I want that to be his food.
It's like a chicken nugget for him.
Yeah, exactly.
For the record, I don't care how it's involved in the movie. I really hope it's just, like, on the side as
just an indigenous animal to Luke's island, and that's it. It doesn't need to be a sidekick. Just make it a creature in the background.
It's just in the foreground in front of all of the action throughout all of the movies. Just kind of
bouncing it's bouncing on like the subtitles as each word is spoken.
You know how like all the movies have hidden Mickeys? It's going to have a hidden Porg from here on out. You just find the Porg.
What are you going to do if they talk or something like
I
that?
I have no idea.
If they talk like Jar Jar Binks? Like, exactly.
It's Ahmed Best returning from the grave.
It's actually an extremely powerful Force user, yeah.
Ooh.
Either way, I know I want to be the first cosplayer to do sexy Porg costume.
You heard it here, folks.
It's probably already been done, to be fair.
No, you're totally right. Wrong. No. Somebody slapped on a bird bikini and was like, look at me.
I did see a sexy Waluigi today on Facebook. Which
you mean Waluigi?
Yeah, the purple one.
You mean just sexy as
you're saying he was sexy off the bat.
Sure.
I mean, I think means a female sexy version. Because I think I saw the same thing.
Meh, you know.
Meh.
To each their own. Any other news, guys?
No, I think that's it. Yeah.
Okay.
Slow week.
All right. Well, we are going to start then. So basically what we're going to do here is we are going to fill several positions on board a starship and build our ultimate Star Trek crew together as a group. We're going to go through each of these positions, and we have some, you know, suggested characters. There's probably some I've left off the list because it's a very large universe, but to kind of let people know who theoretically fits into these roles, we kind of have a list to go off of. These have to be canon characters, so that means they have to have been on TV or in the movies.
Yes.
Books don't count, for example. I know you're upset, Ryan.
I'm not upset at all.
At this. But, you know, just to kind of keep things a little more contained. And because we have a lot to go through, we're not going to have a whole ton of time to argue about semantics. Mm. So.
That's a shame.
So basically, Derek's right, we're wrong.
No.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody. I built this list in 2015 on the Heroes Podcast Network, so I'm curious to see how our list differs from that. It should be fun.
How yours changes, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because that was back when Discovery was first announced.
Yes.
And hadn't been delayed.
2015.
Yeah. A long time ago. So, what position would you guys like to start with? Because I don't think we really have to go top down necessarily. Or we could, because I'm just getting stares.
No, let's... okay, so my favorite position on any ship is always the doctor. Chief medical officer. So we can start there.
Okay. Who would like to kind of nominate a chief medical officer?
So, since I picked it, I'll do it. I like the EMH the Doctor from, I'm spacing, Voyager. Mm-hmm. And
did he eventually take a name?
He did, didn't he?
He does in some alternate futures and stuff like that. So
doesn't Kes encourage him to?
She does.
Yeah, he has that holodeck family.
He does. That's a super sad episode.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, but he never officially takes one in the future that we really get.
Mm.
Even in the books now, he's still just the Doctor. So, but I'm going to second that vote. He would also be my pick for the Chief Medical Officer. Anybody want any reasonings for that or against that?
That one was the one I was the most split on. Like, almost all of my other picks were pretty cut and dry. But, like, for me, the Doctor was kind of evenly split between the Doctor and Bones from the original.
So grumpy.
He is, but it's grumpy, a cynical grumpy that I love to watch.
I gotta go with Bashir.
Mm. Yeah?
Because he's genetically perfect. He's a superhuman.
Mm.
He's, you know, he works at a higher level. LMH is the computer, technically, but Bashir, as far as, you know, being in meat space, I think he's the ideal there.
So he's my second choice, for sure, for those exact same reasons. But the fact that the Doctor can go into environments that a human can't means he could go, you know, if there's gas, you know, in a particular corridor, or there's no oxygen, things like that, he can go to those places. And he can take over a ship if he needs to, if, you know, it's compromised and things like that. So that's...
Assuming there's not, like, an EMP.
Yeah, right, yes.
But then again, he's a hologram. He's not, like, a robot.
So. No, but it is all electrical. I mean, if the ship lost total power...
He'd be down.
You know? I guess there. Yeah, his mobile emitter works and doesn't when it's convenient, right. So I guess it would depend, right? It's
plot-specific.
It totally is.
Any thoughts, Ryan?
I mean, all sounds great. It's not my picks, but I think everybody
Who's
has valid reasons.
Yeah,
who's your pick?
I picked Commander Christine Chapel.
Yes!
She's a fan favorite from TOS. Yeah, I think that, you know, her unwavering loyalty is going to be a real benefit to the rest of the crew that I picked. And, you know, she's demonstrated some good bravery in the field and had to save all the men on the ship before. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I just think that she's my my choice.
As chief medical officer.
Absolutely, yeah, I think she deserves it.
Well, 10 points to Slytherin. He's Slytherin, it's, you know.
I mean, she does become commander by the movies.
Mm-hmm.
I think she leaves medical by then, to be honest. Like, they kind of forget that she was a nurse by the movies, and she's just a commander.
Well, she's kind of forgotten about in general. So, I mean,
yeah, why hasn't kind of she like been weird, in the new movies?
Well, there's a period of time when she wasn't even in the original movies. Like,
yeah, that's true.
She was just kind of same with mentioned.
Rand. Crusher becomes a captain in one of the next-gen futures, too.
She does, yeah. She also leads all of Starfleet Medical in one of the futures, so there's a good argument for her. So let's go. Maybe I guess we should probably take a vote then.
Yeah, we have three on the table.
So we've got the Doctor EMH.
Yeah,
I think that's Ray and me.
Yes.
Okay, so we got two votes. Anybody else for the Doctor?
Like I said, I was split between my two choices, but I think I'm probably going to side with the Doctor.
Okay, so we got three for the Doctor. We got one for Bashir and one for Nurse Chapel. Okay.
Commander Christine Chapel, right there. Please give her the respect she deserves.
By mistake. All right, so the Doctor EMH from Voyager will win that particular round.
Who's next?
Well, if we're going with Chiefs, let's do Engineer next. Because that's a hard one for me. I have a really hard time with that one.
They're all so good.
So good in so many different ways.
Yeah, this one was rough for me. I had a sleepless night just thinking.
Just tossed and turned. So who'd you settle on?
I went with Geordi.
Yeah,
I think the visor, like being able to visually see like cracks in the dilithium crystals and stuff like that. Plus, you know, he's never going to have a social life to distract him from engineering duties because he's such a sad man.
Poor Geordi. That's so sad. He never gets the girl.
Even the holographic girl he doesn't end up with.
Poor LeVarver.
Yeah, that's a good one. Geordi's a really good pick. I was torn between him and B'Elanna, actually.
That's only because you had a crush on B'Elanna. He did.
She's gorgeous and really brilliant. So
seeing her in person, yeah, she's gorgeous. Roxanne Dawson is.
Yeah.
May I?
Yeah, sure. Course.
I also voted for her.
For B'Elanna?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
She was one of the brains behind the Voyager version of the Slipstream Drive, right? That's a pretty big deal.
Yes.
She managed to maintain Voyager without retreating to a starbase after every incident, like Geordi. So that's a pretty big deal. She temporarily stabilized a wormhole. Data, Geordi couldn't think of a way of doing that. She co-developed the Warp 10 drive. She did extensive work on the space fold drive tech, which she got working on a space shuttle, and Starfleet could never get that to work.
Okay, Geordi did stabilize a couple wormholes.
Okay. Well, my information said he didn't. But there were still some other good points in there. He still had to retreat to a starbase after every incident.
Not every incident.
I think that's a very good argument for B'Elanna.
No, it is. It's actually, that is my argument for B'Elanna, that... Because they were out there in the middle of nowhere, she was kind of on her own.
I didn't mean to take your argument, Derek. I'm sorry.
No, no, it's good. I like this. This is good because I know you wanted to troll me tonight.
That one I couldn't find anything to troll you on. Other than I was going to say that she's also one of arguably the best written characters of any TV show ever. That was going to be my troll, but I couldn't do it.
I love her character. A lot of people have a lot of hate for her, and I don't know why. But what I really like about her, too, though, is because she was Maquis and not Starfleet mainly, she has a lot of style and experience that you wouldn't get at Starfleet. So Geordi is still kind of by the books. I mean, maybe not by, you know, the, you know, ninth and tenth movie, but, you know, she had to do some sketchy stuff that Starfleet would have been very mad about if they had been around, but saved the crew a few times.
Yeah. My second thought for engineer that wasn't on your list was Voyager era Barclay. Since he was the one actually back at Starfleet who inevitably got them home by building the whatever array thing.
He is brilliant. I worry about his stability, though.
I know, but, you know, that makes for a good show. We're talking about ratings show. Potential.
But would you want to be on the ship if he was your engineer?
No. Not unless Troy was also there to calm him down.
Every day.
Bring him to his happy place.
Yeah. Any other thoughts, Chris?
Nah, the only one that I chose with is because he's a fellow Scotsman. I went with Scotty.
Mm.
You know, I'm a Scot. Literally my last name. No, I just...
The Scottish are clever.
They are.
No, I am too. My last name is Stewart.
My second choice, though, was actually O'Brien.
Yeah.
O'Brien, he was kind of like an everyman. Like, he suffered.
He was a dick
so
to everybody on
he
DS9.
He was, but still, he was the guy that kind of, he wasn't enlisted or something. He didn't have any kind of rank. He's just, he was like a commissioned or something like that.
He was not a commissioned officer.
And so, like, he kind of was separate from the rest of the crew in that he kind of represented the everyday individual. And so people who were watching the show who weren't, you know, any kind of military or naval background of any kind could empathize with a character who didn't have that, you know, because he came in without having it either.
It's a good point. I mean, he did have to keep DS9 running basically by himself with a bunch of Cardassian tech that he didn't really know. But he is kind of racist against Cardassians.
Yes, he is.
And that's a big plot threat.
Unapologetically
for him. Really. I mean, yeah, he was, you know, captured and tortured for a long time. Like, so I'm not saying he wasn't treated poorly, but
he's just like a lot of people's World War II grandpas where it's like, all right.
A little bit.
It's like, thanks for serving our country, but relax.
Yeah. So I guess we should probably then kind of come up with a vote here. So we've got a vote for Geordi. We've got a vote for who you get. Are you going with O'Brien?
I'm going to go with O'Brien.
You're going with O'Brien. We got B'Elanna.
I'm going to do B'Elanna.
B'Elanna.
Reefer balloon.
Yeah. I'm really just like trying to be swayed by you guys. So you can convince me. I'm on your side.
All right. Fair enough.
That's my only argument. Like this is the only one I have any argument on. So
I have an invested interest in B'Elanna because, first of all, she's the only female to hold this role. And that's a big deal when you look at how varied and diverse Star Trek usually is. It's surprising that another female hasn't done any of that. So there's that. And while the Mary Sue is overall trash as a website, there was this wonderful article about romances and fiction that were not trite, that were not undeserved, and her and Tom Paris had a very good romance and was summed up, and that article made me want to learn more about them together. So I like B'Elanna as a character, and I'd want her on a ship with me. So
fair enough. Okay, so what role should we pick next?
Let's see. We did medical, we did science.
Yes.
Security?
No, we did medical and engineering.
Oh, medical and engineering.
Right. But security. Security is a good one. Tactical slash chief of security, because, you know, in the original series, they didn't have chief of security, really.
It's a small ship. Mm. Big landing party.
I mean, on the show, they didn't.
In the later movies, maybe.
Yeah, it changed a little bit. So who has a recommendation for this role? Anybody? Nobody? I can go.
Go, yeah, no.
Please, Derek.
Odo.
Yeah.
Odo.
Odo. He's a shapeshifter, and he's just really badass. Like, he's a hard ass. He keeps the tightest ship when it comes to security. Hmm. I adore Worf. I adore Michael Dorn. If I was on a ship with Michael Dorn, I would just want to hug him all day long.
And drink prune juice.
But Odo, I would follow Odo's rules.
Worf doesn't really have any rules. It's just be honorable or die. Those are his rules.
Also get constantly shut down for wanting Sounds to like kill a Sith, everything you know, he's
dealing in absolutes
all
there.
The time.
Have you seen the supercut of
yeah, so
no, Worf?
He is told no more than any like
At chief least ranking it wasn't officer. Shut up.
Yeah. That's true. No, I'm totally with you on Odo. He's an amazing detective. He's incredibly good at solving crimes on board DS9. The shape-shifting ability means he can hide really easily, and he can work really well in a fist fight, which, you know, that's the big trope in Star Trek was always, if you want an alien to look tough, just have him throw Worf across the bridge, right? That's how you did it. Odo never really had to deal with that. He just got to always win, really. So I would go with Odo as well.
So three for Odo right off the bat. You guys,
do you guys want to
switch? I mean, as much as you all mentioned Worf, he was my pick, but only because I knew him the most. The other ones I was not as well familiar with.
The only real downside for Odo is that later on he was very susceptible to the Dominion stuff.
It's true.
And he did some real shady, like, switching of sides. So his loyalty is definitely in question. And you never really see him, like, he doesn't go out on the Defiant. You don't see him as part of a crew. He's more of a station head of security.
Yeah, he is the constable, after all.
Yeah.
That's a good point. I mean, the founder thing is kind of over, but it is important. Ryan, you've been very quiet on this round.
Oh, I picked Lieutenant Wesley Crusher from the episode Parallels, where he served this position in a quantum reality beneath Riker.
So for the record, that's one of my favorite episodes.
Yeah.
So nice try.
I think he'd be a great security officer.
In a parallel universe.
Or any universe, really.
Sure.
Did he wear the same sweater?
No.
Sweater.
Not the same sweater, unfortunately.
Oh my god, I'm going to do sexy Wesley Crusher.
There you go.
Done.
Again, I think that's happened already.
He'd appreciate it, though, I'm sure. Okay, so we're going to go with, we've got three for Odo, so
yeah.
I think, so Odo wins that one, so first DS9 win.
As long as he takes some time with Worf to learn proper weapon systems. You don't see him use those very often.
No, you don't. Ever. It's a good point. Okay, next up.
Helm. Let's do Helm.
Let's do Helm control, then. Okay, Helm, navigation, con. Who wants to throw someone out there?
I'm going to go with Weasley.
Because he could use me.
Because I spelled it wrong and nobody
Which
pointed
one?
It out.
Another Weasley.
Yeah. I spelled it wrong on our list.
No. I would 100% always vote Sulu.
Really?
Love of George Takei. How many other helmsmen on here are also expert fencers?
Yeah, with collapsible katanas from the movie.
Right.
True. It's a good point. But we don't really get to see his piloting skills a whole lot.
Nope, this is just bias because I love Takei. That's
Fair
my
enough.
Only argument.
See, that's why, for me, I kind of want to pick Tom Paris because he's shown through the shows to be the best pilot of the group. Mm-hmm. In
like,
fact,
if you
they
just
broke him out
want
of prison.
The Voyager crew... Then we can do that.
I don't, though. That's the weird thing. I mean, I picked Odo on the last one. Yeah, I did. I mean, then you, of course, have Wesley, and he is the smartest person on board other than Data.
That's true. He makes those adults.
He also can, like, teleport and bend reality. If we're going, like, true Wesley Crusher.
That's true.
He's, like, a small deity in that world.
I mean, he was correcting mistakes before he was even in the academy, so... maybe as he got, I mean, he has more potential than Tom does. So I think I'd have, maybe I'd go with Wesley, actually.
He makes those adults look foolish.
And why weren't you guys using that argument when I had Wesley up there for the security officer? He could have been two roles on there.
Wesley is everything.
He was a security officer in one episode.
Doesn't change him.
One example of a future, and there were like 10 futures. So.
He has the same powers. Allegedly.
I mean, we don't know that. It was a parallel universe.
Whatever.
Yeah, I don't think he would have found the weird spirit guide who taught him how to step through time and space.
I agree.
What do you guys know?
So, I'm going to say Wesley.
Nothing.
Who else is voting?
I have some input.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Ryan.
I'd like to nominate Lieutenant David Bailey.
Who?
I don't even remember who that is.
He was from the original series.
You stumped him.
He was underneath Kirk, apparently. He was
the whole crew was.
Initially,
go on.
Initially, fair enough. Okay. That works. Initially relieved of duty for a near nervous breakdown, he requested permission to return to his work, even though the ship was apparently seconds from being destroyed. And because of that, Kirk could positively assess his character and fitness for bridge duty. And so I think that he would be a great fit on my dream crew.
You got a weird crew there.
Hey, don't worry about my crew, Derek. I bet they'd take yours down.
Unlikely.
Very likely. You haven't heard all my picks.
So another thought for this is Data for his Scanning for Life Signs song from which movie was that?
Generations. Yeah. That's a good one. I like that. That's funny. Chat actually suggested Data just before you said something because he is not susceptible to the human issues. And, you know, as they showed in multiple episodes, everybody passes out from some alien influence and he's just dandy. You do have the lore problem, though.
Yeah.
You know, where lore can take over from time to time because people can't tell the difference.
Yeah, every once in a while Data can get a firmware update and lose his mind.
Data's an interesting pick, though, because, I mean, obviously he's faster than everybody else as far as having to make decisions. But he wasn't fast enough in the episode where they had to have that was Voyager, so never mind. It wasn't TNG.
He wasn't fast enough to stop Voyager.
He wasn't fast enough to stop
Voyager. Sent him to the whatever quadrant.
Data's a good one. I like Data. I didn't have him on the list for this role, so that's a good...
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't choose him for helm over second officer, but in his second officer role, it was often at the helm, so...
When Wesley wasn't.
Right, when Wesley was finally gone.
That's a good point. Any other thoughts, guys?
I like Data. We could go with a
Data?
We could go with a Data.
Okay.
I'm good with this.
Yeah, because, I mean, if we put Data at the helm, then that frees up my second officer pick for someone else.
It does kind of stack the deck a bit, which I like.
Yeah, because that second officer spot, I had a lot of choices that were overshadowed by Data.
Okay, so we have three for Data. Anybody else?
Just reconsider my option. Just
David Bailey.
Yeah,
anyone?
Anybody? Just want. Okay.
Anyone?
It's okay.
Good.
Chris, I get it.
Any thoughts?
No, because like the only reason I chose mine was because I just liked the character.
Who?
I actually chose Chekhov, but not the original Chekhov. I actually chose the Anton Yelchin Chekhov.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you can't let that sway your
vote. No. Don't let it sway your vote. I'm just saying.
I heard in Rachel's voice that she was getting ready to let it sway her vote.
No, we're
don't listen to me, Rachel.
We're going with the right end.
That's pretty much a good rule.
But I mean, I preferred his version of Chekhov at the helm more than I did the original.
That's good. Okay, so Data's going to get the win on votes. Mm-hmm. So that's the helm navigation con officer. So let's
Quick question before we move on. Can we actually make that as part of a point, like a selling point? The actor who played them, if like...
I mean, you can try.
Okay.
Probably not going to sway me.
Maybe.
Well, you saw how close that happened just now.
I mean, it didn't work for Geordi, and LeVar Burton is, you know...
Yeah. Right.
Every pick that Derek has made has won, just so you guys know.
Oh, except God. Data.
But one of yours has won.
He just picked Data.
Hasn't one of yours won as well?
That's because I presented a better argument than you did.
You presented your argument first.
Let's do first officer.
Oh, okay. We're starting up there then. Okay.
Yeah.
First officer.
Always and forever Spock.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, the only way he's not your first officer is if you made him your captain, right? Like, that's the only excuse that's acceptable.
Right.
Wait, so, wait. Ryan. What's on your sheet?
Ryan. Wait, did everybody else pick one person?
Yeah.
Oh.
But we're listening.
Go ahead. Had Chakotay.
Chakotay.
Because I think his spirit guide would be helpful.
Now look, his spirit guide is actually helpful on a regular
basis.
And
it's not a bear.
And
we know that.
He has some advantages because he's actually a captain. You're getting a captain as your first
officer.
Yeah,
because in an alternate timeline, he was captain of Voyager after Janeway was killed by a Chronoton torpedo in a Krenim attack in the episode before and after.
And the Year of Hell. But he actually was a captain in the first episode of Voyager before his ship was destroyed. So,
rebel captain.
That's true. Mr. Maquis. He's a good pick.
Yeah, spirit guide. I mean, how do you beat that, really?
Don't make fun of him. Chakotay does a lot of really good stuff. He was a really undervalued character, I think.
He was also a character that was written to be every stereotype for Native Americans.
You are right, and it was borderline a few times, but they were trying to do something different.
I think it was
different.
Over the border a few times, but...
They were trying. It did not necessarily succeed all the time.
Okay.
I ship him and Janeway.
Totally.
They should be a thing.
Yeah. All right.
I'd watch that porn.
So we're going with Spock as our first officer to shock the world. Mm. All right. So let's do our counselor because I think that's an interesting role.
I chose Troy.
Troy.
The reason I picked her is because she has empathic and telepathic abilities, which I believe were very helpful to Picard in making several decisions. So.
And she can do it through a viewing screen. Mm-hmm. That's the thing that never made any sense. It's like she always seemed to have this location-based sense. But then it's like, oh, you're a light year away. He's lying.
Those first few episodes, though, when they had her do that, it was like, Captain, he seems nervous. Like, it wasn't exactly the most pinpoint.
Well, so that's
like reading expression.
That's where my
arms are obvious. That's what I like to call her.
Well,
I thought that was on your sheet.
I actually wrote that down. I actually have
that was season was that
she's not my vote, but that was an argument against her.
That's
my, she states the obvious constantly, and that's about the only thing she does.
And that's my argument against her. She can kind of vaguely feel emotions because she's only half Beta Zed. Whereas Guinan, on the other hand, can sense things across changes in the timeline.
How did those four episodes with Whoopi Goldberg work out for you?
She's the one who gets Picard together with Kirk in Generations. Mm. She saves the ship in yesterday's Enterprise.
Malcolm McDowell.
Q is afraid of her.
Who isn't afraid of Whoopi Goldberg?
Right. I'm afraid of her right now.
Q is a god, and he is afraid of her.
Which...
She's hundreds of years
she's
old.
She's godier than he is. Yeah, I made that up.
Troy is a half-telepathic person.
But she has such a zany mom.
Right.
Who makes for such
it's
good...
Majel.
Can her mom be the counselor then?
No, she's the counselor too.
Yeah. She's also Gene Roddenberry's wife, which makes Troy Gene Roddenberry's
daughter. Okay, go ahead.
Daughter?
So I had Porthos from Enterprise as my pick.
Porthos is a dog.
Yes,
for those
it's Captain Archer's beagle.
It is Captain Archer's
because
dog.
What's better for counseling people than a cute beagle? Or any dog.
I don't know if counseling is a word you're looking for.
It's counseling.
Service dog.
But he really, but he's only available to Archer. What about the rest of the crew?
That's okay. Well, it's a canon character that could be a counselor.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying.
Well, we could, in this dream, none of this is going to happen. All these characters aren't going to be together in any reality. So we just kind of imagine it into this reality.
Other than providing emotional support, like what else is he bringing to the table?
He's a cute dog. He's showing some aggression sometimes, so he could probably defend people.
More of an emotional
beagles are very smart.
Than a counselor.
Let me ask you a question. What if Archer doesn't become our captain? Do we still get Porthos?
Yes, it's a dream thing.
This entire team is hypothetical.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like making rules up for this that you aren't making for anybody else.
I wanted to ask the question. Janeway had a dog. I wanted to ask the question because I didn't want there to be a string tied later where if we picked Porthos, we had to pick Archer.
Absolutely not. What makes you think I have Archer down as my captain?
Well, I mean, chat, Sam says that beagles do have a great sense of
smell.
Thank
you, chat. I think you are great, and you should be here every week. Dogs.
Can they smell
that
photons?
Too? Yeah. We don't know. I mean, it's never shown, but I assume they can. They have a great sense of smell.
Dogs can smell fear.
They can smell cancer.
That too. See?
So medical. Chief medical.
No, that's
awesome. This dog is Archer, filling every role. I'm pretty sure he's a good navigator too. Yeah, just put him at the helm.
Right? I mean, dogs are great navigators.
Just stick his nose out a window.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, okay, so my vote
if
is...
Porthos doesn't get this,
let's tally up some votes so we know where we stand here. So I'm voting for Guinan.
In chat, somebody said we just need to make sure we bring a poop bag.
And dogs can smell drugs. All accurate.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure they screen people before they put them on the ship.
So. Not every time, though.
Right.
Actually, did they screen the dogs?
There aren't really a lot of drug episodes of Star Trek.
Well, there's the game that Wesley brought aboard, but I don't think...
No, Riker.
Oh, Riker brought
that? Yeah, Riker brought it aboard. Of course.
Is that a
Riker.
Ryza thing?
Yeah.
Ryza's such a...
It's a Riker place.
Yeah. Five of scum and villainy.
So who are you guys voting for, then?
Porthos.
We got one for Troy.
Troy.
Oh, three Troys.
You guys are freaking... Come on. Help
so
me
Troy,
out
Troy is our
I'm
counselor.
Trying to troll Derek.
Hey,
you guys aren't helping
he didn't
me.
Win this round.
I didn't. It's true.
You're Sorry. Welcome.
Well, he should have voted for Porthos.
You're not going to let this go.
We still would have lost.
No, because I could have convinced Rachel. I feel like I was close. I was real close.
All right. So next up, we have... Let's see. You guys want to do our communications officer?
Sure.
It's kind of a shorter list because that was a role that didn't exist in all the shows. I'm going to go out there and I'm actually going to say Hoshi. And I know that a lot of people hate on that character, and she was not a very well-written character, but she did have to, on the spot, translate alien languages she never heard without the assistance of a computer.
So I actually have that exact same reasoning
on
mine.
She had the whole computer translation thing.
Not in the movie.
Oh, in 5?
Into Darkness?
In the 09 one, she does tell the difference between Romulan and Vulcan. Mm. She can.
All three dialects.
That's true. But Hoshi essentially invented the translation program that was used in later Star Trek.
Mm. That's a good enough reason for me.
No, I had that. That was my pick. I didn't have anything to troll you with on that one because there's literally nobody to pick from, so other than like three characters.
There's three characters.
Yeah.
I have good reasons for all of them. Hoshi, I named my bunny after her. Solid reason.
Right there.
Uhura was, you know, one of the first black women on TV that wasn't a maid, and Harry Kim never got the girl. And was never promoted, and was never given any love, and he was just a really cool guy.
He was the Geordi of his day.
Right?
Now look, if push comes to shove, I'm taking Uhura, because she's a badass, but...
I voted for Uhura, to be honest.
You know, but when it comes to straight-up communications, I'd rather have Hoshi out there, because if we come across an alien that we've never met before, and the computer has no idea what to do, she would be able to translate.
I think that's fair. That's a good reason.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sweet.
Uhura has a really good fan dance, though.
She does.
Both versions of Uhura are very attractive.
Not to mention the later version, you know, basically stared down many Klingons.
That's that word.
All right.
Brain fart.
So, we're kind of running low. We got our captain, our second officer, and then our wild card spot left. So let's go with our second officer. Which also might be our science officer, because in the older shows that was.
Well, if Data's already been picked,
and good so point. Spock.
Mm-hmm. And so Spock. Spock. That does limit us a bit.
We got two Vulcans and a Trill.
And some others.
Well, Ryan, who's on your list?
Yeah.
I'd like to nominate Lieutenant Reginald Barclay, a.k.a. Lieutenant Broccoli.
Broccoli. Pretty rad.
Yeah, he served aboard the Enterprise D, Jupiter Station, Enterprise E, Project Voyager, USS Galen, and USS Challenger. He was second officer on the USS Challenger. And obviously with that lineage for, you know, he was obviously amazing because every ship wanted him, you know.
Yeah, but that's one of those times where you have to take a second look at the resume and it's like 6 months on each posting.
Yeah, well,
and I had to make emergency trips back to the
There was a lot of demand.
How many of those jobs
great...
did he quit and how many of those were he fired from?
I mean,
and how many of those were entirely simulated?
It's fuzzy. But I mean,
or alternate timelines.
Right.
He was obviously a very sought after character. He had to be on so many ships; they needed him. You know. So
did they used to really need him, or was he just like a warm body to fill the space?
Oh, they needed him.
So let's slow down.
No, everyone needs to attack me at once. Derek.
Let's slow down, please,
everybody.
Remember that Barclay was actually up in our conversation about Chief Engineer
Barclay
because of how brilliant he is. Mm-hmm. I mean, he did
that was
almost
a command officer though.
But that doesn't take away from the fact that he was a second officer.
I mean, this is a little bit lower on the totem pole. He doesn't run engineering.
Right.
He's not the first officer, you know, but he is brilliant. He has done things with technology that wasn't supposed to be possible. Mm-hmm. He turned everybody on the ship into, creatures and stuff in the episode Genesis. And he almost single-handedly created the communication system to talk to Voyager.
Yes, though the first, I think, three times we're introduced to him as a character on Next Generation, it's because he's, like, late for work, he refuses to teleport, which impacts his ability to do his job, and then I think he's late for work again because...
So you're complaining about some character development. Listen, the guy is obviously sought after and a genius, just because he was scared of a teleporter once or twice.
Hey, Bones was afraid of the teleporter.
Yeah, Bones was scared.
It'd be like being afraid of flying.
I'm saying in the chain of command.
This is the future equivalent.
Oh, you know, if like two people get knocked out, then we have Barclay in charge of... Okay.
Well, not necessarily.
I think it's great.
I mean, he's second officer, but depending on the situation, I mean, chief engineer could take that role.
That's true.
But Troy is on board. Troy is on our crew.
That is true.
So he could have daily or twice a day sessions if he needed to. I'm going to vote for Barclay.
You know, because you took away you voted for mine in a previous role. I'm going to vote for Barclay too.
Oh my God.
Do you have a thought, Ray?
Jadzia.
And why?
Because she's a badass.
Okay, that's not a good answer.
I mean, she's really cool.
Broccoli's a badass,
and
too.
She's really hot.
Terry Farrell is very hot.
I would say Jadzia if either Worf or Sisko were on board. And we haven't gotten a captain yet, but I would hate to see Dax without any of her buds.
It's true. I mean, she would have Odo.
They didn't have a lot of...
I just, Jadzia doesn't really bring anything particularly unique to the table. She does have, because, I mean, we have B'Elanna who is half Klingon.
She can die unceremoniously.
She can. That's true. She can do that because she doesn't want to re-up her contract. I'm not mad about that. I just, you know,
she had to be on Becker.
I would have liked to have seen her. I like Desiree Dax too. So, you know, you got both, I guess. But Dax, I mean, she's very smart. But really, her whole character is kind of centered around her relationship with Sisko.
Yeah.
And without Sisko, there's not a whole lot there because she has no one to tell all these stories to.
Yeah.
So I'm going with Barclay.
Oh my gosh.
Broccoli's going to win this one.
Broccoli for the win.
Fine.
I like it. I like Barclay. So.
You keep saying it wrong. It's Broccoli.
You're saying it wrong.
No.
Okay.
Crusher said it wrong.
So, we did our first officer already. Mm-hmm. So we're down to captain and wild card. So before we do our captain, because that's, of course, what we would end on, let's go with our wild card. So basically, these are characters who do not have official ranks through the show. Maybe they do in an alternate future timeline or something like that. But these are unranked officers. So the original series doesn't really have that. But the other shows, for the most part, do. So anybody want to throw somebody out?
I had Whoopi Goldberg written down.
Just as herself.
Yeah, as herself. And then I also had Porthos in case we didn't pick him as counselor.
Okay, anybody else?
I had Rom.
Rom?
Because he's like a brilliant engineer. He's got a heart of gold.
Oh, that's true.
He's apparently a dynamite in the sack because he gets all the Dabo girls.
Just Leeta. Just Leeta. It's cute. That's one of my favorite relationships on Star Trek.
Sweet.
I picked a very undeveloped character because she's fairly new. I picked Jayla from the most recent film.
Oh, the black
I'm
and
okay
white.
With that.
Yeah,
Kabuki.
Yeah, because she was tough. She she held her own against enemies and everything. She was intuitive because she was able to figure out many of like the booby traps and whatnot on like the old ship, the Franklin, I believe.
Yeah.
Not to mention, halfway through the film, I was expecting her to not really pick a side. She was kind of the wild card throughout the whole thing. I didn't know if she was going to be good or bad or whatnot. It was kind of fun to watch a new character develop. So,
Ray.
All right. So on your list, I love Neelix. I love him so much. He's just a really great guy. Having a chef on board seems redundant with the replicator, but...
Well, on Voyager, it made sense.
Yeah, it did. But, I don't know. There are some good ones, like Chapel, like Yeoman Rand. A dog's really cool, man.
Yeah, dude, come on.
Just as long as it's not Quark, because I hate him. Yeah. I hate that actor.
You haven't seen enough of DS9
no,
yet. Trust me.
No.
He gets his due. It's great.
Okay, so I've seen all of Buffy, and I still hate that actor. Like, I don't care.
Armin's great. I love Armin. I'm actually going to throw 7 of 9 into the ring here, because she has the entire knowledge of the Borg Collective. Mm. She actually,
that's the reason why, can, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
She sleeps standing
up. No, I believe you.
I mean, his crushes are Crusher and B'Elanna. That's it. Like,
yeah, he'd kick 7 of 9 out of bed,
this.
Right?
We've talked about
he'd
this.
He'd kick her out of bed, I'm sure.
7 of 9 has the entire knowledge of the Borg Collective. She also has Borg technology in her, so she can create nanoprobes, with it, which were used countless times as plot devices on Voyager, and she, you know, can create overshields and things like that, can control the whole ship from parts of the ship that it's not supposed to do that from, and things of that nature. As far as contributing on a daily basis, she can do more than most of these other characters can.
Yeah, but on a ship where we already have Data,
mm-hmm.
we need another hyper-intelligent robot.
Think about the two of them together.
Think about the two of them, like...
like, physically? Like,
sure. I mean, Data slept with Yar, so...
Derek has written a fan fiction on this. You can look it up on our website.
Data expressly says he has fully functional reproductive organs.
Yes.
And he does sleep with the Borg Queen, so this seems like the next step.
Yeah, he does.
7 of 9 sleeps with Chakotay. So.
No, they don't go that far in the show.
In Derek's dreams, they do.
No, in the books, it's kind of implied that they did. But no,
but we're not going
that's
by the
beta
books,
canon.
Are we?
No, that's beta canon. So, all right, so we have to make a decision here so we can do our captains. Mm. So who's up for the conversation here? So you've got Neelix.
Yeah, Neelix is
Porthos.
Rom.
Jayla.
We are completely split.
There's no way.
They're all getting on.
So chat's going to have to help us out here. So help us pick our wild card character. We've got Porthos, Jayla, Rom,
Neelix,
and 7 of 9.
Yes.
Do you like any of those, or would you like to throw another one into the ring? And Buster props is Ryan, so that doesn't count in chat. But if somebody in chat wants to give us another vote in there, I'm going to give you guys a minute to do that while we... We'll step onto the next one here, and we'll go
then Captain.
So we can say the clear winner is not Quark.
Thank
no,
you.
The clear, yeah, no, Quark, Quark, no, 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 does, no, no, Quark no. And Kes do not get any love.
I would have left.
Now, chat does suggest Q, which is kind of a fun
which
one.
Just splits it again, so.
But that's a villain.
He's not always a villain.
No, but
he's not reliable enough
depends
to be considered.
On who the captain is. Like, if we pick Sisko.
Yeah, he does not want to be a villain to Janeway, that's for damn sure. So, we got another pick. Porthos is not stepping foot onto this ship.
He already did. That's 2 votes. He wins.
I said we're giving people a minute.
Oh, gosh. Here we go.
Captains.
Oh, there's another vote for Porthos.
Now,
oh, coincidence.
Because we have Spock as our first officer, he is not in the conversation for captain, mm-hmm. though he would have been eligible if we had not picked him as our first officer. Just want to make that clear. So our official canon first captains include in chronological-ish order Kirk, Picard, Sisko, Janeway, and Riker.
And you're
Archer.
Missing one, but
Archer.
No, you're missing another one.
I did
too.
That for you. Who? Are you
no,
going to
for
Pike? Are you going to
no.
put Pike into the
oh,
conversation?
Maybe,
oh,
no,
we can do that if
Pike
you want.
Technically was a captain.
I mean,
yeah.
I mean there's technically
he was the first captain.
I mean,
if you want to get technical,
we could put, April in there too. You want Robert April
maybe.
In the conversation? I
we'll
know.
Get to that.
All right, fine. So
Rachel.
What?
Rachel, before Picard.
Oh, the Enterprise C.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting.
Because I share a name. And that's
that's
it.
A good reason.
I mean, she does
like
send...
It.
She does
like
send
if we're
her,
going based off of that, then I should be voting for Pike.
She does send her crew to their death to stop the Klingon War, so...
Good on her.
I mean, that's
maybe they deserve to die, Derek. You
it's pretty
know.
Hardcore.
Yeah, maybe they were all racist.
Yeah, you don't know.
To be fair, they don't all die.
Racist.
So,
well, she tried.
They don't
just
all
saying.
Die.
She tried.
Okay, so who else?
Picard.
Picard.
Two Picards.
Sisko.
You say Porthos again.
I'm sorry?
T-Pole?
Is it's that
T'Pol.
T'Pol?
Okay,
T-Pole.
That one.
T-Pole.
Oh, yeah, there was an alternate timeline where she was a captain, and I think that she was going to be a great captain for no reason at all that I can argue.
Okay.
It's both, basically, if you've watched the show, which some people at the table haven't seen the show, Enterprise, you may have heard of it. It's a Star Trek show.
How did you not pick Archer? I don't understand.
Because that was the obvious answer, Derek.
So I'm going to make
it. I do love Archer, just FYI. But I vote for Rachel.
Okay. I'm actually going to throw
not
in.
Not with a... Rachel. For no. Rachel.
Like kill
well, for and this. With, I guess.
I'm actually going to put my vote in for Janeway. Hmm. And while Picard is the captain that I would always want to be, Janeway had to endure a lot more over the course of those 7 years and take her crew through it with very few resources. And I feel like when push comes to shove, she was the best day-to-day. She was there for her crew emotionally when Picard really wasn't a lot of the time. Picard's the diplomat, right? Yeah. Picard is the calm, collected, calculating guy who is really only emotional outbursts is in first contact when he's about to lose his ship to the Borg, right? But Janeway is always there emotionally other than a couple small moments in the show. So she's got that open door policy. She's friends with a lot of her crew members, and she sacrifices herself multiple times to save her ship, including, you know.
So does Picard.
So does Picard a couple of times, but she dies a lot on that show. You know, whether it was the Year of Hell or even Endgame.
She did have lizard babies.
She had lizard babies with Tom Paris, which I feel like, you know.
That's punishment.
She's the mother of dragons. That's
there it is. There it is. I like it. I like it a lot.
Picard's an archaeologist.
True.
He went undercover on a covert mission, like behind enemy lines in Romulus or whatever that 2-part episode was. He had fusing pitons and climbed a cliff. That was so cool.
True. But, I mean, Janeway is a scientist. I mean, she's a genius when it comes to the technical structure of the ship. The conversations her and B'Elanna have, I mean, Picard could not have talked on that level if they needed to rebuild an engine in the middle of space.
No, but Picard could listen to his own engines and know if they were out of calibration.
That's
which,
true.
Which is amazing. To something the size
using
of a city
sonar to assess the, you know, the,
just from the
stability
vibration.
Of his own ship. I'm just saying.
It's true. When he was at the Academy, he could figure out a .3
misalignment. Picard was basically Daredevil.
A little bit. No, I mean, that's true. But, you know, most of the time, he delegated.
True, but that kind of comes down to the question, if Picard was in the same situation as Janeway, would he have fared as well? And I think he would have done okay. It's kind of who was the best captain for their situation.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, if it's the flagship of the Federation, Picard is the super diplomat. If it's weird frontier ship that gets thrown in the middle of space with a bunch of Maquis, Janeway is the rough and ready, you know.
Very true. I think that's why I go with Janeway, though, because Picard was given everything all
the time.
I feel
like you guys could argue about this for, like,
all right.
The rest of the podcast.
Let me just finish my one point, and then you guys can provide yours, okay?
No, well, I don't need... I have my,
yeah,
my points.
Done.
It's just you two arguing back and forth
is
the whole
yours
time now.
Captain Rachel, or...
No, okay. No, it's not Captain Rachel.
Well, fine.
Okay. Whose is yours, then?
I mean, ideally, I'd want Sisko on my ship, because I want to nail him over and over and over again. I love Sisko.
Okay. Avery Brooks is an attractive guy. So that's fine.
He was on DS9. I don't know if he still is. He's kind of a hermit. So
he looks basically
sure
the same.
He's doing great.
He's aged very well.
Okay.
So
I trust you.
Any other reason than that?
No. Okay. So Picard and I come from the same Scottish clan.
Yeah.
Patrick Stewart and I. That I totally have the Ancestry.com to prove that. So.
But Picard's French.
Yes, Picard is a Frenchman.
She's talking about the actor.
I know.
There are multiple aspects of this. I haven't always been a Trekkie, so I don't have years of this as a fandom to go off of. I go off of, like, my love for the character. And, you know, you make great points about Janeway. Her being the first female captain and them just basically sending them out into the middle of nowhere and making her survive all this is pretty impressive. But... you know, I think when it comes down to it, minus his, like, Borg PTSD, I would work under Picard the best.
So is your vote for Picard, then?
Mm-hmm.
I think so. I think so.
Okay. Are you Picard too?
Oh, yeah, I was Picard.
Okay, so we have three Picards.
Yes, we do.
Well, then I guess it's Picard.
That was diplomatic. That's
shame, I was going to vote for Archer.
You can.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter. So.
All right, so Picard is our captain. And it looks like, according to chat, Porthos now has three votes.
Then I think Porthos is a good wild card. Having a dog on board is fantastic.
I feel like I should have suggested Spot then, Data's cat.
No, it's too late.
So Porthos, for some strange reason, ends up on our show.
He can run around through all the Jeffries tubes. Yeah. Just imagine if just like you're in the middle of a briefing and then just a dog comes out of the wall.
I love it.
Perfect.
I love it.
So, just a quick kind of rundown here. So, our captain is Captain Picard with First Officer Spock. Our Chief Medical Officer is the EMH Doctor from Voyager. Our Chief Engineer is B'Elanna. Our Tactical Officer or Chief of Security is Odo. Our Second Officer slash Science Officer is Reginald Barclay. Our Helm Navigation Con Officer is Data. Our Communications Officer is Hoshi. And our Counselor is Troy with Porthos as our unranked crew member, which is interesting there. So,
you can make Luna a costume of it. She could be.
It's happening.
Yes.
Do it.
So I think TNG wins as far as how many characters we have. You know, Barclay's kind of been on a couple of shows, but
technically so is Troy and Spock. Not as crew though.
But we did get one Enterprise. We actually have somebody from every show, which is kind of cool.
That's
that doesn't
great.
Always happen. So
and dog.
I do. Oh, and Porthos. Yeah,
and Porthos. Oh, and Hoshi. Yeah.
Right. So that is our crew. Now we are basically we're kind of out of time.
Yeah.
We didn't
do a quick rundown.
We didn't get to our second part here.
Big surprise.
That's okay.
How do you want to handle that?
We can all just like go through them. Really fast.
Oh, okay.
I've been figuring out mine from the beginning.
Okay. Well, I was hoping to be swayed with debate. I don't really.
Well,
have
I mean,
a list
we could just
that's
read
okay.
it and list why we chose them.
Okay. All right. So the next part here was we were going to build our all-star sci-fi crew, which meant that characters from all of science fiction, not just Star Trek, to kind of build a crew based off of that, filling mainly these positions, not necessarily that specific, of course. I don't really have a list for that because I was
since you don't have a list, so people have actually did the prep work and made a list.
So go ahead.
Yeah, we can go through it, and you can just pick your favorite, and boom, done. And what you made a list too?
I did.
Okay, there we go.
So somebody.
So where are we starting?
Ryan, you go first.
What position are we starting at?
Whatever
you
want.
Through,
yeah.
Let's stop at the top. Start at the top. I picked Corbin Dallas from Fifth Element.
Love it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he shows a lot of skills in that movie. He has a list of weapons and equipment that he's familiar with. That's literally like 6 feet long, and just generally shown as a good tactician. He's good at dealing with people and killing aliens. So
yeah, that's
I think it's
great.
Perfect.
Though he does have 0 points on his license.
Good thing he's not the navigator.
Yeah, he's not at the helm.
Yeah.
It's okay.
All right, who else?
My captain. I chose Malcolm Reynolds from Firefly and Serenity. He's kind of a tough veteran from the war. He's someone who can make decisions. He cares about his crew, but he also knows how to make tough decisions when it comes down to it. So
nice.
I am going after the boyfriend's heart. I picked Captain Stephen Hillard from Independence Day.
Hmm. Aww. I like that.
I didn't play the cheap card. I played the card for somebody that I thought would actually make a good captain of a starship.
I had two rules for mine. He would make a good captain.
Mm-hmm.
I think he'd make a great captain. First of all, two rules for my list. I had no repeats, and they had to step on board a spaceship before. Like, it couldn't just be from Blade Runner or something. Mm-hmm. I picked spaceship
people.
Likewise. So. I tried to avoid things that weren't at least space-related.
No. Well, I picked just such general sci-fi. So.
That's fine.
Okay.
But that's... Corbin Dallas is set up.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. So multiple ones. You're good.
On Solo.
Yeah.
Good
okay.
One.
I figured that had to be on somebody's list.
Absolutely.
He's there when he needs to be there.
Awesome.
Pick, Derek.
Oh, I have to pick from this list?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, if I'm picking from this list, I think I have to go with Malcolm Reynolds as far as captain is concerned. So, because he's actually the only one who's actually been a captain of a crew on the list. So.
You can stay here tonight.
Well, wow.
Captain
with
awesome.
Me?
He's really good at being a little
thing.
So, you know.
Okay.
All right. Who's next on your list?
First officer, I had the T-800 from Terminator.
Oh.
Okay. Which one? like
any of the Arnold,
any of the Arnold.
I would probably go Terminator One where he's trying to kill people. Or, okay.
Obviously, because you know you don't want one that's just going to kill the entire crew. But yeah, T-800, obvious reason.
Ideally,
he's a computer.
As long as you're not Sarah Connor.
Yeah. Okay. He's got a lot of good benefits. He's obviously good at everything because he's an android, and you know,
not diction.
That's true. He does have a weird accent, but.
All right, that's good. Chris?
For mine, I picked Dr. Lazarus from Galaxy Quest. It's Alan Rickman. He brings kind of a gravitas to the role, but he has a nice dry wit whenever you need it. Not to mention, when things actually got serious, he got serious. So he
did a better medical officer than the first
time. No, because I have a good medical officer.
Okay.
By Grapthar's hammer.
By Grapthar's hammer.
I know what Derek's picking.
My first officer is Tron Galila.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That wrist device that can do anything.
Yeah,
that's true.
Absolutely.
She's a damn
like check her email.
Yeah. I chose Ford Prefect from the Checker's Guide to the Galaxy. Perception.
Oh, that's also
right.
A good one.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good one.
Because no matter what situation you're in, he'll know how to. But she's still managed to get every shot.
I'm gonna have to go with Leela.
That was a surprise.
Okay. Yeah, I love Leela.
Leela.
Ray and I were going to do gender bent cosplays, and I was going to be Leela, and she was going to be Fry.
Oh, that's because I am Fry,
and I'm kind of Leela.
Yeah, you're really Leela.
I mean, it's the one eye that really gives it away. I think
purple hair.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway,
Chief Medical Officer is the only one that I have that doesn't fit into the role of sci-fi, so I can concede if that's going to cause problems.
It's okay.
Dr. Gregory House.
Ooh. I mean, it's kind of sci-fi.
I mean, there's some really weird science fiction stuff that happens in that show, but yes, Dr. Gregory House. Mostly because I'd like to see him interact with some of the other people on my list, but yeah.
Him and Bones in the same room would be weird.
Right.
Him and anybody in the same room would be weird. I mean, he makes it awkward with everybody.
Okay, all right.
I went with Dr. Zoidberg.
Me too. Dr. John.
No, the reason I went with him is because he's had a long career as a doctor, and he is a licensed doctor, despite what many people want to argue.
He's a bad human doctor.
He's a bad human doctor, but he's a good alien doctor.
That's true. So far, my crew is two humans, though.
What about Zoidberg?
That might change.
And it's two humans and one Zoidberg.
Dr. Lazarus from Galaxy Quest.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. All right.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I got Zoidberg.
Yeah. Oh, you also had Zoidberg. Yeah. Oh, that's funny. Okay. Nice. That's a tougher one for me, to be honest.
Let me change it just so there's more variety for you. Simon Tam. As if anybody wants Simon Tam on their ship.
Simon Tam's my favorite character.
He's such a wiener.
You heard it here, folks. See, I think with these four, I kind of have to go with Zoidberg because Dr. Lazarus wasn't actually a doctor.
No, he was
just
not.
An actor. So I'm gonna. I guess I go
Dr.
with Zoidberg.
House was an actual actor.
Yeah, but he's
doctor, not an actor.
But I don't know if I want him on my spaceship. I feel like I'd want to push him out.
The Viking,
but he's the best. Limited.
I mean, only when it's not lupus.
Look, sometimes it is. Okay.
One time it was lupus, and it was an afterthought.
Right.
Okay, Chief Engineer.
Okay.
Dr. Egon Spengler.
Nice.
I think once he adapted to a futuristic technology, he would be able to do amazing things with it. Obviously, the things he was able to do with the technology in the 1980s was pretty incredible and way beyond his time. So
now, would the ship be powered by ghosts?
Could be. I mean, I'm not going to write the whole story. That's on somebody else. But
we can do that for an episode.
Yeah, sure, we can do that for an episode. Yeah, Egon, I think, is the obvious choice. Mm-hmm.
For my engineer, I actually chose Rocket Raccoon, Guardians of the Galaxy.
We are on the same page.
You and me, buddy.
Okay.
No, only because he's got a vast knowledge of alien technology, not just like primitive Earth technology. Because of course he knows anything that Peter knows.
I feel like that was a jab at me. But Egon has been shown to be able to do things that no other person could even think of doing. So I feel like he'd be able to adapt as the situation was.
But has
necessary.
He fought Thanos?
Has he fought Thanos?
Can Rocket Raccoon
beat
a ghost?
He did fight Zool. And
the answer is really simple. Is Spengler a trash panda? And the answer is
no. And he's defeated a god. So
yeah. And the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
That's true. Although he was terrified beyond the capacity for rational thought. So
it happens.
Now, the only reason I picked Rocket as well is because he's able to he's able to think on his feet. Like he's made and engineered devices and weapons like in minutes. Like sure. like in the moment, in the heat of battle, in like heavy situations, he's able to think on his feet.
That is true.
All right, so I put Kaylee Fry from Serenity.
Mm-hmm. Oh. So messy though.
As an engineer. I love these. But and I picked Rocket for security officer because I felt the weapons worked best mm-hmm. for that. That's true. I wanted to
different security officer.
I wanted to include Rocket. I didn't think anyone else on board the Milano is really useful to anybody else. I thought Rocket has the most use, so I wanted him on board no matter what. So I just kind of shoehorned him mm-hmm. in. So.
Okay.
Yeah, I had Rocket.
You had Rocket. Okay. Well, my pick from this group is definitely Kaylee. So. Hmm.
We okay. have now.
Yeah.
We want to do security next?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Sure, okay. For Chief of Security, I had Judge Dredd. Mm-hmm. Because yes. in that movie, he's shown to be able to do amazing things with basically just two people and very little ammunition and just using his wits.
This matters.
And his tactical mind.
Sylvester or Carl?
Carl.
Yes.
Because that movie...
See, you had me.
No.
You had me. You were reeling me in.
I think that Dredd was a better display of why he would be a good security officer. It shows tactics, his intelligence, and his ability to adapt to situations.
All you had to
better.
Do is look at me and say, he is no. the law. And
if I lose because I picked the Dredd movie over Judge Dredd, then I'm sorry. I take that loss.
For security and tactics, I chose Ender from Ender's Game. Because I thought he would be a good statistician and tactician when it came to, like...
But is he old enough to enlist on my ship?
Was Wesley?
I mean, he was older.
Wesley didn't make the
Wesley
list.
Crusher was, like, what, 14 when he started out on the show?
Ender's eight.
But, like, does it really matter? This is a hypothetical situation.
I'm just asking.
Also, given that it's...
Hey,
given
you guys
that
crucified
it's,
me for freaking bringing Porthos see, into it, so...
Can Ender see over the console? That's, you know...
He doesn't need to. He's got an heads-up display.
Also, okay. Ender has to change his personality after the events of the first book because he's largely seen by humanity as a villain.
Mm-hmm.
It's true. So
I chose him because he's got superior tactical...
He shot one
tactical.
Gun the one time, and it was seen as a failure, so...
But I mean, you see him fight in a shower like once, and you see him do some like stuff in a simulation room. And other than that, he thinks it's a video game. Right at the end of the movie, he doesn't even realize it's real until the end. So
the
if you're
coolest
talking,
stuff he does is in the later books, and it's not that type of stuff.
I was talking about the
so,
movie. I've only read the first book.
I mean,
but.
When he's psychically projecting child forms of his siblings,
yeah, that was weird.
Into a weird psychic spaceship. I don't know. Orson Scott Card kind of lost the plot on that one.
He's an odd guy.
He's an odd guy that likes to write about nude children a little too much.
Yeah, that's fair. Ray?
Rocket, I said that.
Oh, you said Rocket, yeah. I'm sorry. And Jeremy?
Oh, this is for security officer. I said yeah. Spike Spiegel.
Oh, from Cowboy Bebop.
Yeah.
Oh, I've never seen that.
He knows Kung Fu, and he's very chill.
Well, I think I'm going to have to go with Dredd.
Mm.
I think I got to go with Dredd.
Yeah, that's fair.
Push comes to shove.
If you watch Cowboy Bebop, you disagree.
Yeah, I mean that's my asterisk. I haven't seen that, so I can't say mm-hmm. for sure. So, next role,
science officer.
Okay,
I had Rick Sanchez from Rick and Morty. He's basically the smartest man in the galaxy, and aliens keep trying to abduct him to get technology from him because he's so smart and he's made technology beyond anything they could ever dream of. No, he can't be. He has played. If you've seen season 3, he's sat and done things he didn't want to do.
The one team he was on, he murdered.
Okay, but I mean, he did work with them for a little bit. I'm just saying that I think his benefits...
Tore them apart
he doesn't kill everybody.
Franchise.
Yeah.
He doesn't kill everybody,
he doesn't
right?
kill everybody.
Sometimes
I mean,
he works with
Newt
people and doesn't
survives.
Kill them.
Yeah, Newt
back there.
It's important that he doesn't kill everybody. That's yeah. important.
I feel he's too unstable of a character to allow on a ship to work with others. He seems more of a loner unless it, like...
That's why he has
Morty
with him every episode.
But even Morty, he throws under the bus several times, so...
All right, next pick.
For mine, I chose someone who is very emotionally stable, and that was Mark Watney from The Martian. He's a very good biologist, a botanist. He understands numerous other scientific processes because he was able to do the jobs of the other crew members when they left. So it's not like he's just a botanist. And he's able to operate under pressure.
Right.
Oh, man, I don't know. Like, I just picked people I wanted to be on board with, and there's nobody who's really a scientist left.
So you vote for Rick then, right?
Give me a second. Skip me for a second.
Okay. The Doctor. As in Doctor Who.
Oh, my goodness. That's actually really good.
See, I had him.
I like this.
Okay. Ray, do you want to throw in a name, or...
I mean, I'll do the Doctor, too.
I just feel like all these people can't compare to the smartest man in the galaxy that can literally do anything that the plot needs.
I mean, the Doctor can regenerate and travel through
Rick
time.
Rick doesn't have to.
I would not pick the Doctor for the role of Chief Science Officer, I'd pick the Doctor, if I may skip. I'm just going to throw this out. Because I picked the Doctor for the Counselor. He's able to, you know, see and perceive all of time. And
interesting.
Is the Doctor, like, smart enough to be a scientist? Is he a scientist?
Pretty much anytime he comes to a situation where a sun is exploding.
I'm going to come back to this one. I'm not really thrilled with any of these, to be totally honest.
Sorry about it.
Yeah, I'm going to come back to it.
Okay, so Navigator, I have Chewbacca.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, easily.
I had Poe Dameron.
Okay.
He is.
Star Wars, all right.
I had Wash.
Oh.
I wanted to pick him, but I was kind of
I was sad. Trying to keep one, because, like, instinct is just all Serenity Crew.
Yeah. Ray?
Starbuck from Battlestar in the 2004 series. She's an excellent pilot, and, yeah, it's Katie Sackhoff, so.
So surly, though.
She is. She's very surly.
So surly.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I like Chewie. But I'm really unclear on who can and can't understand him sometimes. So I think I'm gonna go with Starbuck.
Wow, dude.
Dang.
I like Starbuck.
In all fairness.
And
you
she's
know,
an angel.
He has to live with me, so.
Well, Starbuck's also an angel.
She is.
You know, for some reason. Alright, what's next?
Okay, for communications.
Okay.
I have Cosmo, the Soviet space program experiment dog. From Marvel.
Telekinesis
and telepathy and a really cool accent, I'm sure.
It's Russian. It's confirmed to be Russian.
Russian accent.
Sure.
So that's exciting. We know we love that in our track, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I chose C-3PO.
3PO?
3PO because he knows over 6 million forms of communication.
Okay.
Also very annoying. And doesn't have a Russian accent.
Just he can do a Russian
major
accent.
Major cock block.
And he's not a dog that wears a spacesuit. So
Ryan likes having dogs on board.
This is one after your heart. Tom Servo and Crow T.
Wait, both of them?
Both of them?
Yeah, both. I feel like you can't have just one. They have to fulfill the same duty. They you just shut them down at the end of the night. It's fine. They go in the closet. They're robots.
Okay. Interesting.
Mine's a robot too.
Liara from Mass Effect.
Because
she is Asari. Asaris are natural counselors. They've communed with all alien races.
Derek hasn't played Mass Effect.
No, but I can verify. I know the story. Though.
I can verify that she is a really good pick.
Yeah, I like that idea.
You should have done my homework.
That's
hitting all your blind spots.
No, I like this one though. That's a good one. I know the story of Mass. I never finished the first game, but that's good. I like that. Yeah, that's my pick. That's good.
Yes, I got it.
Yeah. What's next?
Okay, counselor.
Counselor.
I had Yoda. Because I like Yoda and really just want to be
like Yoda.
And also he talks in a way that makes everybody happy. So, and laughs in a way that makes everybody happy and walks in a way that makes everybody happy. So I just feel like his presence.
You're saying his gimp?
He doesn't lightsaber fight in a way that makes everybody happy.
Some people are happy with it.
Some people, but I haven't been.
That's okay.
I wasn't happy.
He probably won't have to use it very much.
I hope not.
So bouncy.
Mine was the Doctor.
Right.
Yeah, of course. Mostly because of his extensive travels throughout history, so I feel like he'd be able to give insight as to what not to do.
It's good.
Mine's pretty useless as counselor. It is Marvin from Hitchhiker's Guide.
Wow.
He is 3 billion times smarter than a live mattress.
And he's really sad about it.
Well, he was a prototype. They got better.
Mine would be the Doors from the set, or the Hitchhikers, or what is this, the ship?
Oh, the Heart.
Heart of Gold.
Heart of Gold, yeah.
Because they're trained to make you happy.
It's true. It's interesting.
Every time they open, they go, ah. That's really funny.
just imagine every time you go from room to room.
I'm going with Yoda.
Yes.
I'm going with Yoda.
We want Yoda on this ship.
He's got 900 years of experience running the Jedi Council and dealing with little weasels like Anakin, so...
You made a better argument than I did.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Mm-hmm.
Stealing rations on a...
Okay, so...
Bad world.
So
granola bars.
Weird hut.
So, is it a wild card, then?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've made a wild card.
Let's do it.
I had Doc Brown from Back to the Future as my wild card. Okay. Partially because I just want to see him interact with Rick Sanchez. But... and House.
Can they do that? Because won't that cause like a tear in the space-time continuum?
Are they technically the same person? I mean, do we know?
We don't know.
Has
it been confirmed? Between the two of them, I'm sure they can fix it. If there is a time-space tear.
Fair enough.
I picked Bishop from Aliens. I felt like he was an interesting wild card to throw into the group because we don't really know his intentions yet. And for all we know, he could be good or bad. Or we don't know.
Definitely somebody you want on the ship.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Love those.
Love those guys that could be good
That's
or bad.
I may have misinterpreted the word wild card. But...
Right?
Ripley. I want Ripley on a ship. She's going to be the one to rescue everybody. And, you know, most people will die, but she'll save a couple.
So even though you haven't seen it, I'm going to go with Ayn from Cowboy Bebop. It's
okay.
A Pembroke Welsh Corgi that has been genetically engineered to interact with computers.
Yeah, right. I'm feeling it. Cosmo,
he's throwing his boat out for yours right now.
We should just have an entire cruise
of dogs. That's our next episode.
I can make
So this one's a little bit difficult for me because Doc Brown and Ripley are two of my favorite characters of all time. And
they are staples to sci-fi.
And they bring very different things to the table.
Totally, right? Like, I love the idea that I could wake up on a random day and Doc's got some weird invention hooked up to the toaster. I mean, it sounds awesome.
The Enterprise looks like a DeLorean now.
The time travel plots in space shows are the worst.
I mean, yeah, if my ship looked like a DeLorean in space, that'd be pretty sweet.
But every time you traveled, you'd leave space tracks that were
that's
on
okay.
fire.
That's pretty cool.
What's wrong with
that?
That's
a selling point. That is
I did have one more character. Right I actually had for my dream crew, I had the ship cast also.
Oh.
As Optimus Prime.
Oh, okay.
As the ship?
Yeah.
All these people are inside Optimus?
Yes. What would he transform into?
Why would that feel?
He's
going
to transform into himself.
A space
truck. He's going to look like the Enterprise because this is a.
I'm envisioning like
Star
a Winnebago from like Spaceballs,
but it's
going to
have
you know,
it
looks
be
like
red
a truck
with
in
flames,
space with
like
wings.
Semi.
I like it.
Yeah,
I like that.
So
and
the
that,
voice,
is that
the voice is going
to
be Optimus Prime's
for
voice.
What ship
I,
you want?
I cast another thing besides just the ship. I cast my red shirt as well.
I think I'm going to go with Doc Brown because we have Dredd and Starbuck. Along with Malcolm and Leela, and I feel like they could handle a tough situation together as a group.
Mm-hmm.
And having like the crazy inventor guy who can, you know, create a time machine out of a DeLorean
and has experience with time travel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Doc Brown.
Okay, you need to pick a science officer too.
Oh right,
yeah, you do.
I do. You're right. This is still very difficult for me. I think I like the idea of having a doctor on board. I do. I'm going to go with the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
But which one?
Okay. Or do I have to pick?
We don't have another hour.
We'll just go with a doctor, and they can regenerate at will.
I also wrote down who my obligatory red shirt would be.
Okay.
It'd be Groot. Because he could die and still come back.
That's sad.
But you'd have a baby Groot.
And then an angsty teen Groot.
And an angsty teen Groot.
But apparently masturbated vines everywhere. Still,
I think those are leaves.
I'm still fuzzy on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any other roles or characters that you guys didn't get to mention?
I feel like your ship needs Cortana. I don't know how you...
She could be the voice of the ship.
No, Optimus Prime is the voice of the ship.
Yeah, I'd rather have Cortana.
What?
Well, that's another role we didn't fill is what would our ship be?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it just had to be the Enterprise.
Yeah, I thought so too. It was a Star Trek crew, so...
Oh, okay.
I'm kidding. And I mean, the idea was in the Star Trek universe, it could be any Star Trek ship would be the idea. It doesn't have to be Enterprise.
Oh, if I had to go with the ship, I'd go with the flying space pirate ship from Captain Harlock. The thing can heal, like self-heal and everything.
That's cool.
It is really cool. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie or not.
I have not.
The ships from Close Encounters preserves people for, you know, hundreds of years. So I'm going to go with that. That's nice.
I'm just going to Google this ship
for you. Ryan, you had
Optimus Prime, yeah.
Jeremy?
Planet Express ship.
It's a good one.
It's just like real classic.
It is. And it seems to repair itself at will, so.
Yeah. Really good.
Which is nice.
And it doesn't move through space. Space moves around it.
True. That's also true. I like that. It's good stuff. Cool. Well, those are our picks, everybody. I hope you enjoyed our kind of long show here. Chris and Jeremy, thanks for joining us. If people ever wanted to reach out to you and talk about your picks, how might they reach you if that's a thing?
Zen Monken on Twitter. Zenmonken.
Awesome.
My Facebook page, Will Royce Creations. WILLROYCE.
So. That looks very phallic.
It's
very phallic.
For those of you at home, yeah. I mean, it's got a skull on the front. Ryan, of course, is at Buster Props. Mm-hmm. Ray is at Siren Ray Cosplay.
I am.
And I am at The Star Trek Dude. But you can find all of us at Heroes Podcasts at heroespodcast.com and everywhere on social media. Be sure to check out our other shows, Gamer Heroes and Costume Couture. They come out every week as well. And next week we are reviewing the new It, I believe. So go see that.
And go see that.
Hopefully it's good and it's scary. We'll find out.
It's a slow week, guys.
So it is a slow week.
We have to go see a movie.
Yeah, we'll go see a movie. It's all good. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll catch you guys next time.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.